Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 48 of Slam Fire Radio. I think it's been a while. I'm really not sure.
Yeah, what show are you on?
Are you sure it's not
Slam Fire? Wait, I'm not Mo, so it must be.
You're a
Pat,
lot like...
Pat, are you on here? Is that you, Pat?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good.
Actually,
welcome to Action Shooting Radio with Trevor Furlot.
For March 13th, 2014. Well, let's jump right into it. Owen, what did you do this week?
I guess starting last Saturday, I went to the range, excuse me, with some other people, some couple other families in the community. Random Dave was there, Random New Brunswick Dave, and another local guy. And we took our families, took our kids, wives, a whole bit, and went to the range mostly for the kids to shoot, and we shot a pile of 22 long rifle, and that was about it, I guess.
That's because we can still get it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it never dried up here because
pretty good stockpile.
Yeah, we're not treating it like currency, so we can still buy it.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah. No, it was great, and I bought a Savage Rascal 2 days before that.
Pink one, I heard. Congratulations.
Pink one, yes. Bright pink. I love it. I'm not sure what my girls are going to shoot, but...
You're using this in multi-gun this year, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Single shot.
No,
multi-gun that's going on? Because I'm pretty sure I won't allow that. Not because it's single shot.
But because it's pink?
Yeah.
Or because it's short? Or because it's a 22?
It's a pink thing.
Gotcha.
Okay. So I set... Interestingly enough, I mean, I can't talk either. The benches, shooting benches at a range with one sandbag on top are perfect height for my daughter standing for where the targets were. So got her set up with that, and within probably 5 minutes probably, she was running that thing like a pro, and I just stood back and let her go, and I never counted, but she probably put anywhere from 50-75 rounds through it all by herself, just one after the other.
Nice.
Run the bolt.
Good hits and stuff.
There was a lot of people shooting. Oh, okay. A lot of different targets,
so you don't really know.
I don't really know, but
she safely launched rounds downrange, so that's a great first step.
Yeah, sometimes trigger time is trigger time.
Well, for her it is at this point. It has peep sights, and they they're not the easiest for her to use. She hasn't quite figured it out.
I thought you were going to put a red dot on that.
Yeah, but oddly enough,
it's been a week.
Savage Rascal has a proprietary scope mount.
Oh.
Scope bases.
Oh, come on. Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought it was the same receiver as the Mark II.
I went into the local gun place, and he said, no, you can't just stick any base on that.
So he said that. Did he actually get some scope bases out and try it?
No, he didn't.
That would have been what I would have recommended.
I think I feel like maybe the circumference of the receiver might be slightly different, but I don't know that. Anyway, he said he was bringing some in, so he said I should have a couple here anyway. So he was going to bring some in, so I'll probably pick some up, and then I imagine I'll just put a red dot on it because that's simple for her starting out.
You don't have to line up, yeah.
Yeah, and she can't close one eye over the other eye yet, so she can shoot that two eyes open and things like that. I think she's left-eye dominant. She's right-handed, but left-eye dominant, I think.
How old is she right now? 5 or 6?
She's 5.
Yeah,
five
it's probably it's already established.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was a lot of fun. She had a blast. I couldn't hardly tear her away from it. And my wife did some shooting, and my second oldest daughter, she did some more. But she's just basically standing up there pulling the trigger. She's not. She's just putting lead into the berm is all she's doing. And nope.
What even, did Mrs. shoot, Owen? Did she shoot the short-barreled AR?
She shot that. She shot the short-barreled AR with the conversion kit in it, and my Savage Mark II.
Nice.
Which is unbelievably accurate. We had a steel sort of flipper target or whatever you call them. It has the four plates, and you shoot them all up, and then hit the other one, and it knocks them all down.
Matthew, did you get yours back?
My what?
What he just described.
The flipping target?
Yeah.
I got my flipping target back, yeah. You were there when I got my flipping target back.
My flipping memory sucks, man. I can't, you know? Anyway.
It's crazy accurate. She was just pinging them off one after the other at about 40 yards, 50 yards. So I don't know what else to say. That was a good day. We must have spent at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half. There, put a fire on in the trailer, and
I think there was pictures on Facebook, wasn't there?
I think one of the other guys might have posted something. I didn't put anything up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw pictures on Facebook.
Yeah, right. I saw Dave was there.
Yep.
Coolio.
Yep.
Right. Nice.
No, it was fun.
Did you have to bring snowshoes to go check the targets?
Nope. They had they plow out the range, so they.
Oh, nice.
They plow the whole road all the way in, and then they plow like
the road all the way out too.
Yes, all the way out, and the range down to the 100-yard berm, just like one truck wide, just enough that people can walk down. But it was, I mean, that we'd had a fair bit of warm weather. It was pretty muddy. The snow had melted off, and it was pretty muddy.
So you needed your mud shoes then.
Yeah.
That's so funny. We're in the same province. When I go to my range, two trips back, I had to use snowshoes. And either way, like all winter, since about January, you can literally walk up to the gate. That's 9 feet high, and step over it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, no such thing as mud, and won't be until like mid-April.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this is, anyway, just where they had plowed is the only place that it was muddy. Mm. Yeah, anyway.
If you could find out what that costs and send it to me in a message sometime, because we're looking at that for next year.
That was, I did that, and then I, kind of gun-related, I filled out my 6 NIA form. Got that all straightened away this week.
And what's a 6 NIA form?
6 NIA is the form you need to temporarily import your firearms to the United States. If you're an illegal alien.
Non-immigrant.
Yeah, you're right.
Alien or non-immigrant? Anyway, the word alien's on.
Non-immigrant alien. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good times.
So I did that and talked to my MP a few times this week. Just kind of chatted with him a little bit.
Seems cool. To be a lot of that going around.
Yep.
Who's your MP?
Mike Allen.
Oh, he's a good MP to talk to you about gun stuff.
He is, yep.
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 Apparently,
he's a pro gun for sure.
Apparently so is John Williamson, but we'll get to that later.
All right.
Yeah. So, I guess that's about it. The only other, we had a gun club meeting recently, and I handed out a bunch of sort of form letters, not form letters, but sample letters to people, to some of the members to use and modify slightly, but to give them an idea what to write to the MPs and to the Prime Minister and all that about the Swiss Arms and kind of prohibitions and all that. So, yeah. Other than that, that's about it. Trevor.
Cool.
I was the first week I was away. I was away because I was helping Chris Kingston teach an IPSC range officer course. So I'm well on my way to being certified as an instructor. He's continuing to groom me to take his place to teach all these things. They put me into the Black Badge program, and now he's training me up to start teaching the range officer courses. So the first one I helped on was yours, Owen. Mm-hmm. And then this one. So I teach the next one by myself, and then I'm a certified range officer instructor, and it's pretty cool because there's an entirely new program from what you took on. These came out this year. And of course you and I, Matthew, it's a new program. Owen took the same one we did, but now they're called Level 1, Level 2, and Level 1 is for your basic range officer, and Level 2 is for your chief range officer. So this weekend I'll be a student in a chief range officer class. You need, I believe it's 28 points or 30 points. I should know it, but anyway, it's written down in the new program how many points you need. And the points are accumulated by being an official at a match. If it's a level 1 match, you get 1 point, and so on, all the way up to level 5. If you officiate at a level 5, you get 5 points and everything in between, right? So I accumulated enough points to sit in on the chief range officer's class. There was only 3 of us in the range officer's class, or 3 people took the range officer's class. It's Mark and Jason and Pierre-Luc. And at the CRO course, there's going to be 5 of us. So that's pretty cool. And when I'm done doing that, a week later, Chris and I are scheduled to go to Fredericton to teach one to some guys down there. There's probably about 10 people in the province that need to take the chief range officer's class. And there hasn't been a chief range officer's class given in this province in nearly 20 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's about time to start creating some new officials at higher levels. Mm-hmm. And you need 50 points to become a range master. So I should be able to easily get 10 points a year. And I'm already at 30. So it shouldn't be too long before I can accumulate enough points to become a range master. And then it's whether or not I want to travel to take the course, or if there'll be a course here and who can actually teach it. I think at that level, it'll probably be some of the top officials in IROA or NIROA from IPSC Canada. So, and then a week later, I wasn't on the show because I was traveling to the middle of New Brunswick to take a or to help teach an archery coaching clinic. Back to gun stuff. I loaded some more 9mm major loads for my True Bore. I've gone through 1,000, the first 1,000 I loaded, so I've been trying a new powder and a new recipe with limited success. You know what it's running like? It's running like a 1911. Isn't that funny?
Odd. I wonder why that is.
I'm not sure. Strange. Anyway, but I've kind of – there's a match coming up in Halifax the 23rd, 24th, or 24th, 25th, whatever it is, next weekend. It's called the Spring Bang. It's at the AMA. It's an indoor range and an indoor match. Might even be a level 3. I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to go down with Mo and Matt Lorette and shoot that. And I'm going to shoot my standard gun, my STI Eagle, because I just haven't got the load figured out yet for my open gun. And I'm going to leave my open gun there with him to work on, him being Sean Hansen, the STI dealer at Freedom Ventures, so that he can tune the extractor, because I think that's the problem. But anyway, enough of that.
Yeah, I was just trying to get the extractor on my Glock tune today, and it turns out that it just works perfectly all the time, so.
I know, isn't it great?
Yes, it is.
Man, yeah. And you know what's ironic? There are more parts in a Glock with regards to the extractor than there are in a 1911 type gun. You know, your Glock, you've got your extractor that sits inside the slide. You've got your firing pin safety underneath that holds it in.
Yep.
And then you've got the other plunger with a spring in the back that's held in place by the cap on the back of the slide. There's far more parts in a Glock extractor system than there is in a 1911. And look how well they work.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Because usually it's the other way around.
I know,
usually,
right?
Yeah, usually the more parts you have, the more likely things can go wrong. But
yeah. Yeah, but I mean, in a 1911, the extractor is one solid piece that's just machined.
I guess it'd be kind of like building a bicycle out of one part. It probably wouldn't work very well.
There you go. Right. So, anyway, but when it comes to my Eagle, I've spent so much time dry firing my open gun with the red dot and both eyes open that I now can just pick up a gun with iron sights and shoot with both eyes open.
Isn't that a nice skill to have?
Oh, brother, you have no idea. And it's got nothing to do with IPSC, right?
What do you mean I have no idea? I shoot with both eyes open.
Yeah, but you always have.
Oh, I see. Well, so no, not really, but...
Well, okay. So, well, for me, I shot archery with my left eye closed forever because my left eye was dominant. And when I picked up a handgun, it seems to me I tried a couple of times. And it was
trying a couple of times, yeah.
Didn't feel right, blah, blah, blah. Well, now it's just like automatic. I still see some double vision, but there's no problem whatsoever to pick up the proper front sight that I'm focusing on. You know, it's like the double vision is kind of off to the left in the peripheral vision, and I don't have to look for the sights when I present the gun on target. It's there. So I'm pretty happy about that. I haven't shot a match that way yet, but I've been practicing at the range that way. So I don't see it being as a big problem. I don't care if I finish dead last in the match. I want to get some experience shooting both eyes open in a match, right? So getting my hits and going from there. What else? The Remington Versamax arrived. As everybody knows, last year we sold tickets on an AR. This year we're selling tickets on a Remington Versamax sponsored by Freedom Ventures. I was so impressed with this gun that I bought my own. So it arrived. Get this. Huge shout out to Freedom Ventures. I was talking to them on Monday. I sent them my last payment on Friday because I bought it on layaway. I sent them my last payment on Friday. I called them on Monday for something else. And they were like, yeah, this part on your order is not in stock. I'm like, that's all right. I'm not in a hurry for that stuff anyway. He said, well, we're going to ship your Versamax today. I said, well, that I'm in a hurry for. He said, well, what do you mean hurry? I said, I want it yesterday. I got it the next day. They shipped it to me from Halifax in 24 hours. Wow. And they didn't charge me any extra. I got the gun for a really good price. I actually paid less than I thought I was paying for it, and got it shipped within 24 hours from Halifax. So that's a huge thanks. So Freedom Ventures, make sure you check them out if you want STI products or if you need a Desert Eagle, because, I mean, who doesn't, right? what else have I been up to? Oh, well, the Versamax came in today, and then I ripped it apart and slipstreamed the bejeez out of it. I did my typical, like, I need another tub of grease on. I'm out of slipstream.
We'll send another 5-gallon bucket over.
Thanks, dude. Some for the toast and some for the guns, right?
Oh, I just had someone toast today. It was delicious.
Awesome.
I did, but every time I picked my toast up, it kept falling out of my hands. So.
Slippery, right?
Nice.
So the plan is... The plan is with the Versamax is I'm going to buy 100 rounds of Universal, just the cheap Winchester Universal, and one box of 3.5-inch Magnum, because the gun is chambered 3.5-inch Magnum, and I've only shot 3.5-inch Magnum once, and that was out of Muffin's 870, where he said, all right, tough guy, you want to shoot a gun with one hand? Here, do this. So he gave me his 870. He didn't tell me there was a 3.5-inch Magnum in it, and I held it out with one hand like a tough guy and blew it out of my hand and sheared the skin off of my knuckle and... Good times. So, anyway, I'm going to run 3.5-inch Magnum through it and then 100 rounds of Universal, because I have myself convinced it needs to be broken in. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I just want to shoot 100 rounds of 12-gauge from a semi-automatic. Is that wrong? Is it?
No. I do it all the time. I do it in one sitting.
There you go. Yeah, but you knock birds down the ground, too.
Well, that's true. When I'm shooting birds, yeah. But no, I mean, when I started... when I got my Beretta Extrema 2, I said, okay, I'm going to get good with this gun. This is the last hunting shotgun I'll ever buy. I'm going to get fabulous with it. So I...
You're going to get what with it?
Yeah. No, fabulous. He said fabulous. Yeah, I believe it's a man card infraction.
It is. You need to put another inch on your beard to make up for that.
For what?
Saying
you
fabulous.
You said fabulous. I'm going to get fabulous with my shotgun.
No, I didn't say fabulous. I just said
You did. Yeah. Last week, you and Matthew were having a mandate in a barn with airsoft guns playing force on force, and this week you're
but
shooting
it wasn't fabulous. Let me tell you.
I bet it was fabulous. How did that conversation go? Hey, Matthew, it's Owen. Do you want to come play airsoft in the barn with me?
It was kind of exactly like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Carry on.
Okay, so let me restart this conversation. When I got my Extrema Beretta 2, I said, I want to get really good with this gun.
There you go.
So I think it was in May, I went and bought a case of shells, and I, in one afternoon, went through an entire case, so 250 rounds, and then about 3 weeks later, I went and bought another case and went through another case in an afternoon. And then all summer, I went through two boxes a week for almost an entire summer.
That's a lot of ammo.
So, but I can pick up that gun now and I can shoot birds with my eyes closed practically because I know exactly
you got fabulous
how it shoots
with it.
I got really good with it.
Thank you.
You know, so you're right. You need 100 rounds is hardly a start.
Yeah. No, it's just to break it in because I'm not – after I put the 100 rounds through it, I'm putting it in the mail. I don't know how many times – both part of my 870 and the Versamax were taken off to Ontario to a gunsmith, Casey, somebody or other, Chris Babes, posted a picture on Facebook of the amazing job this guy did customizing his Versamax. So I called him up, and he's going to do some work for me.
So you listen to Chris Bays, but you don't listen to me. I've been recommending Casey from Tacord for the last 3 years to you, and you just never do anything about it. But then Chris Babes all of a sudden says Casey at Tacord, and boom, Trevor's off to the races.
It's like the KSG, right? The guys at the range one day are telling me about the KSG. Trevor, this new shotgun out, you're really going to love it. I'm like, yeah, And one ear and out the other, right? Because basically I'm in my own world most of the time, right? And all of a sudden I come back to the range and I'm freaking out and I'm going, oh my God, do you see this KSG? Why wasn't I told? And they just looked at me and shook their head like, you're hopeless, get away from me. So my 870 started life as a $350 28-inch hunting cheap bottom-end 870, and I've dumped money into it and changed, taken the parts off and sold them, and then dumped more money into it and taken the parts off and sold them. And finally, when I got the Mossberg 590, I said, all right, I'll put the 870 back in its original hunting configuration, and I'll hunt with it like that, and I'll use my 870 for three-gun matches. And then the I looked at it one day and saw all the wood and kind of vomited a little bit and said, this is not going to work. And I thought, rather than buy, I wanted the barrel off of the tactical 870, and I thought, nuts to that. I'm going to take my 28-inch, I'm going to send it away, get it chopped down, get another bead put on the front, and get it threaded for chokes. So that's going to go with my Versamax. Now, my Versamax, Casey's going to weld the lifter, because the lifter has that, ironically, it's supposed to facilitate a faster reload, because the lifter has a groove cut out of there, like a U cut out of the front of it. But it's notorious for jamming your thumb and pinching your thumb. So if you fill that piece, that hole, that U-shaped cutout, and you won't get your thumb jammed, and you know it'll be less painful, obviously, and it'll actually facilitate a faster reload if you're not trying to pull your thumb out of your receiver. And the other thing that he does is he completely opens up the feeding port and bevels the edges and kind of makes it like a mag well, essentially, on your shotgun. So that's I'm gonna put 100 rounds to it, throw it in the mail, and send it off to him. I mean, we've got lots and lots of time before we start shooting, so hopefully I'll, you know, turnaround time of 3-4 weeks will be reasonable, I would think, for that.
I would hope so. It depends on how busy he is.
Yeah. So. And what else?
Yes, I got folks, we are only halfway through.
No. No, this is important. I on the show here, I always roll my eyes when we start talking politics, and it's not that I don't care.
And
it's
we can always see you roll your eyes, too, because you always hold your eyes right up to the microphone.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I do get active, and I do care, and I am a member of both of our associations, and I do support the conservatives, yada, yada, yada. Well, this week I put my money where my mouth was. I went to the meeting, our gun club meeting last night, and I made a presentation to them, first of all, explaining the situation with the Swiss Arms and the CZ-858. I just approached it like, you guys don't know what's going on, because I would say, and we had a good crowd. We had like 20 people show up at our meeting, and probably 15 didn't have a clue, because they were just, you know, basically, I want to call them FUDs, but I'm the vice president of the club, and I probably shouldn't speak about the members that way. So they're not FUDs, but they're the, I just have a couple of guns, and I don't care if they take your black rifles or your pistols. I just want a place to sight in my hunting rifle and shoot my shotgun. They're those kind of firearms owners. It's never going to happen to me, those guys, right?
Yep.
So I got up, and I said, look, I would support you if they were trying to take your guns, the type of guns that you enjoy. So do the same for me and support me. The antis are united. We need to be united. I give them the whole speech, right?
Yep.
And then I showed them a newspaper article about sort of the St. John newspaper here in New Brunswick, the front page story, MP John Williamson was speaking out against what the RCMP did and calling for the government to ease restrictions further on law-abiding gun owners. So it was a really good article, and he was all on our side and stuff. So I took the trouble to write him and thank him for supporting us. And then I brought to my club a bunch of the form letters that the NFA has that are addressed to Prime Minister Harper. So I brought those out, explained that I had these letters, that if you were willing to sign one for me, I would take care of mailing them tomorrow when I get back to work. And then I took it a step further, and I pushed to try and have the RCMP barred from our range. Not barred, but that we would no longer rent our range to the RCMP. The RCMP, right across Canada, uses private gun clubs for training purposes and recertification purposes for their members. And my point of view is, it's nothing personal against the member who's in the squad car, who's on the street, who's doing the dirtiest job that there is, who is the point of contact with the public. It's not to punish them. However, if something happens to them that puts pressure on them, well, the pressure is going to be put on Ottawa. They're going to be complaining to Ottawa, look, the decisions that you've made is affecting our jobs and our lives out on the street. So if the people making decisions at the RCMP in Ottawa aren't supporting gun owners, why should gun owners be cooperating with the RCMP or oblige them, right? Open up our facilities to them.
I have a problem with that.
Well, let me finish, and then there's a lot of people had a problem with it, so we'll hear your point of view. Yeah. So a lot of people actually did agree, why should we let them use our facility? They're not doing anything for us. The heck with them. And then we come to find out that, and some people were like, no, it's too small of a place. Don't punish the little guy. We don't want to make bad blood with the RCMP. This is a bad idea. And then it was brought to our attention that because it's a Crown lease, we don't have a say in how it gets used. It actually is included in the lease that we will make the facility available to the RCMP or to any federal agency, and we'll make it available to them at a reasonable price. So with that being said, there wasn't going to be a motion from the floor. It was dead in the water, I thought. But there was a motion. Somebody made a motion. Yes, let's no longer rent our facility to the RCMP until this is rectified. But we couldn't get a seconder on it, so it was dead. So, yeah. So the thing is, Owen, if one little gun club does it in New Brunswick and doesn't get any attention in the media for doing it, you would, if it was approved, we would then have to call the paper and say, hey, look it, this is what we're doing, and get a newspaper story and get people talking about it, right? Yeah. And it would have to happen across the country. And it was a movement that was starting on Facebook this week. Mm-hmm. Kick the RCMP off of your range.
Yeah,
let's all do it, right? So,
yeah.
So if one club does it, doesn't make a difference. But if they were losing access to ranges across the country, well.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm torn on. I see the point. I see the idea. Right. You make it's less about trying to punish them and more about making a statement. Mm-hmm. But again, you are right. It isn't have anything to do with the guys on the ground.
Mm. And you like know, Officer Frank, for example. Officer Frank is the reason I shoot IPSC. Officer Frank is the reason the RCMP no longer break the law and trespass on our range. They used to show up in RCMP vehicles and drive by the rifle range while we were shooting on the rifle range, not stop, not communicate, ignorant as heck, drive right around to the back, get out, start shooting their pistols while we sat there, gun owners, law-abiding citizens, club members. We had to stop our activity while they trespassed in the back.
Yeah.
And he put a stop to that.
Yeah. No, I understand. And the other thing is that if they were cut off from accessing local ranges, they're just going to spend taxpayer dollars to go build their own, you know? Like, there are other ranges they can use.
Well, that would be one response. Hopefully the smarter response would be, okay, we've obviously upset these people. Let's make it right. And that would be cheaper. It wouldn't cost them anything to make it right.
Yeah, but but I don't think the people at the top of the food chain really care about that. You know what I mean? When it comes to politics, they don't care about that. But I could be wrong. But, I mean, it's not a big thing. It's not – the RCMP don't shoot at our range, although they did in the past – they have in the past, but they haven't last year, at least maybe two. So for whatever reason, they've gone somewhere else. I don't know where they're shooting now, but
that's another thing that I didn't consider, Owen. It's like, they could just step it up and say, that's fine.
Yeah.
We need to build our own facility now.
And who pays for that?
Yeah.
Us.
Exactly. So
that's you know, more my thing. But I mean, again, there are valid points on both sides, you know, and now you see the point of trying to put pressure on the organization by doing that. But you're right. It does have to be a pretty massive movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know, they're not going to build ranges everywhere in Canada.
That's right.
So, Matthew, you have an opinion on that?
A little from column A, a little from column B. Just, you know, I understand why, but at the same time, I don't think that it would have the impact that we think it would. It's more of a make ourselves feel good that we're doing something as opposed to actually doing something is what it feels like to me, because I don't think it would really do anything in the end.
I think the biggest thing it would do would be to get the average Joe on the street who's not a gun owner to start asking questions about RCMP seizing property when they read the story. It's just another opportunity to get into the mainstream media what they've done to us. They're stealing our property.
Yeah, and that's offering true. Amnesty. If you can publicize it enough, then it, mm-hmm. then it might have an effect.
But,
yeah. Yeah, interesting. I did something similar as far as the talking about the bands at the club. As many people maybe know, I'm the president of the local club, and I went in partway through the meeting, and I kind of gave my little spiel there about kind of informing people, and some people knew, but a lot of people didn't. And I had at least one person come up to me after and go, "Serious? The CZ-858? I've got one of those, you know." And
didn't have people, a clue.
Yeah, they were pretty upset.
It's amazing how unconnected the people in my club are.
Yeah.
They really think that they live in a little gun bubble and that nothing is ever going to affect them. And I reminded them, I said, "How many of you were here back in 1995 and went through what you went through? We weren't organized. We didn't have social media. And we didn't get, you know, we didn't take a stand. Well, what are we doing about it now? It's not 1995. We have social media. What are we doing about it?"
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, how about you, Matthew? Let's this horse has been beat to death. What did you do?
I went out hunting a couple times.
Actually hunting?
Yeah, actually hunting. Went out with Matt. We did some coyote hunting. Only thing we got then, and actually Matt got it was a lesson in how snowshoes work really well. As in, I had them and he didn't. He was up to his hips in snow for a lot of that day, which he determined that, yeah, I guess snowshoes really do work. So
how would he know he didn't use them?
What's that?
How would he know he didn't use them?
Because I had them on and I wasn't sinking.
They really worked for you.
They really did. Other than that, I almost shot the decoy.
What?
Because I set it up and then, you know, walked back to the shed and did... we found an old shed out in the middle of the woods that we hid in while we called in coyotes, which... was fruitless, but anyway, it was fun. Anyway, when I went back out to pick up the decoy, the entire time all I see is the bit that's flipping around on the top. There's that little fur tuft that spins around and, you know, that makes the movement. So as I'm walking back, I'd completely forgotten that there was a base to it, but it had fallen slightly at about a 45 degree angle, so it looked like a gopher had popped its head up out of a hole. Just a perfect angle as I walked up to it. I'm like, ah! And I almost shot it, thinking that it was a gopher. I'm like, "That's weird. It's right by the decoy." Oh, wait, it is the decoy. So your decoy works. Almost fatally. But
worked on you, yeah.
It worked on me.
Called you right in.
So that was kind of fun. We didn't, like I said, we didn't actually call anything in. We tried, but it was to no avail. So I had brought some...
generally, this is the time of year, too.
Yeah, yeah, I'll get back out there. I mean, I did get back out, actually, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But I had brought some surplus ammo with me while we were out there. So instead of shooting the good reloads, we actually did do some plinking out in the middle of the woods for a couple of minutes. That was kind of fun. We shot some pop bottles and water bottles and whatnot. So we at least got to shoot our rifles, which we don't often get to do when we're just out hunting. So we did that. And then... couple days later, I took the 795 out and just basically, this was less hunting and more just kind of walking down some trails because I was bored. It was really nice out, so I went for a walk and saw some crows a ways off. They were quite a ways off, and I had my crow calls in my pocket still from the coyote hunting, so I pulled out the crow calls and called a couple of crows right in. They flew right over my head. If I'd had a shotgun, I would have had two crows that day. But
so Matt, you're trying to call coyotes with crow calls?
No.
I think I figured out what you're doing wrong.
No. I just happen to put all of my calls in my pocket whenever I go hunting.
Oh, so, okay.
Because the environment license does include crows, so I figured if I have my crow calls with me, I can at least call those in too. But anyway, yeah. It worked, you know, it was kind of cool to see the crows. They were flying kind of away from me, and I let off a couple of locator calls, and both of them just wheeled right around, beeline right for me, and they flew right up over my head, and I was kind of behind, well, I was in a trail, so kind of behind some trees. They didn't see me till they got probably within, I don't know, 40 yards or so. So mm-hmm. Definitely within shotgun range with a full choke, which I would have had. Yep. And as soon as they saw me, they're like, whoa, that's not a crow. And they wheeled off around again, took off the other way. But it was neat to see the calls actually work and to pull them in like that. So once they left, I was like, well, heck with this. I'm bored again. So I did some plinking with the 795. And I got a couple of light primer strikes. And, well, that sucks. And, you know, sometimes that's just a dud. So I picked up the round off the ground and brushed it off and put it back in the gun, spun it around just to see if there was primer on the other side, because sometimes that, you know, that'll light it off. And every single time, it happened 3 or 4 times out of about 40 rounds, every single time it lit off the second time. I'm like, well, that's not good. This is now light primer strikes, not duds. So I brought it home, and I had the M Carbo hammer spring in it still. So I took some spent shells and dry fired them, clicked them, and took my calipers, micrometer, and measured how deep the dent was. And between Jules' rifle, which also has the M Carbo kit in it, and between my Marlin Papoose, which doesn't, it has the factory spring in it, there was noticeable difference between the primer strikes. The M Carbo spring does not hit nearly as hard as the factory spring. So I swapped the spring out in my 795 and took it back out the day after and fired off 50 rounds in succession with no problem. So,
here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Since you're the 22 guru, I had some light primer strikes on my conversion kit, AR conversion kit as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For the first time. So I don't know what was causing that.
Did you want a congratulations or no? I'm curious. Is there a question here?
Just,
or are you just
well, I just wondered if you maybe, I mean, I know you have the same conversion kit, so I just wondered if you had any idea what I should be looking at to figure out why. Right. I've never had that happen before, but it was happening like every third round.
Oh, okay.
It was happening a lot.
Yeah, how cold was it?
It wasn't that cold. It was like right around zero, maybe just above zero, and we had the fire going in the trailer.
Okay, so it wasn't too cold.
And, no, it wasn't too cold.
And these duds, did you try them again? They went off a second time?
I don't recall trying them, but they were pretty ripped up. But I'm using the same ammo in all my other guns, and I didn't have any issue.
Okay. Interesting. So
what
did the primer strike look like on those rounds?
Well, a couple of them, it almost tore the rim rate off in half.
Oh, it's hitting too hard then, is what's happening. It can't hit too hard either.
Oh.
Because if it punches straight through it, it's not going to actually ignite. So you need to...
I mean, it didn't happen every time, but I know at least a couple times I looked at it and I was like, whoa, that's really...
I wouldn't do this yet. I would, you know, look for patterns here and see if you can repeat it and whatnot. But if it turns out that that's a recurring problem, what you can do is very, very carefully take, you know, 1/1000 of an inch off your firing pin.
Okay.
And that way it won't punch through it, and that might give it a bit more reliability. And then, you know, if it's still punching through, take another 1/1000th off and whatnot, and just kind of very, very carefully file it back to appropriate length.
Because I've never had a problem with it before.
Yeah.
So something is different. So I'll have to play around with it and see what.
Is this the same ammo you've always used through it?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep. So it's probably not an ammo issue. It could be. It could be a bad batch of brass. You know, really thin, or soft. But I highly doubt that. It's probably a gun problem there. So, yeah. Anyway, good luck with that, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can we'll mess with that next time I'm over.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Look at that and see if we can figure something out. But that's pretty much it for me. I, you know, played with the guns a little bit and went out and called some crows. So
cool.
That pretty much. Aside from that, the obvious. I've been shooting my airsoft like every 30 seconds I'm shooting a thing. So my cats haven't been hit yet, thankfully. But I have punched holes in all kinds of things in the house I didn't think airsoft would go through. So
I found a pretty good setup. In the back part of my house, I have a couple mattresses leaning up there.
That would look nice.
I taped the Ipsic target to the mattress. And just the way that this particular Ipsic target has a little bit of a curve in it, I can shoot it. It punches through the target and then falls down and gets trapped at the bottom of the target. And then I put a box down below. I just go up, pull the target out, and they all fall into the box.
Nice.
It's kind of, yeah.
Very nice. That'll work.
The odd one will fall out and roll away, but yeah.
That's much better than have them roll all over the place.
Yeah. I love this thing. Man,
it's fun.
Impressively accurate. I mean, you don't have the recoil management.
No, but it is. I know how the accuracy still astonishes me.
Yeah.
I can't believe how, for a plastic pellet coming out of a smooth bore barrel.
Yeah. Because I was doing drawing from concealment.
Yep.
This evening, turn around, draw while turning, and then a couple, two or three shots quickly, and they're all right in the A zone. No problem. Easy.
Yep. Very nice. Yeah, be careful you don't do too much of rapid fire with it because it doesn't have that recoil. You are going to. Now, that being said, if you ever have any sort of flinch issue, you will kind of help get rid of it by doing this because you'll stop being scared of the gun going off whenever you shoot.
That's right.
Yep. So, I mean, it is a good way to kind of work on that. But, that's good. I'm glad you're having fun with it. I am too. Trevor, you got to get one. They're cool.
Yeah, I probably would have if I had known they were being ordered. But, whatever.
It's funny that I was just on that website because I think I need to get a propane adapter for it because I'm almost out of my first bottle of green gas.
The first video I saw of the Glock 17 airsoft gun being run, I mean, was the guy had a part one, part two. I don't remember his channel name, but I mean, just amazing how similar this thing was. Now, his came with the orange tip and he scraped it off. Did you guys have that, or did it just come
blocked? No, orange tip isn't required in Canada.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's
a U.S.
American
thing.
Yeah.
So this has sort of, the frame has is a bit opaque.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a smoke gray as opposed to, but anyway.
But he was running them on propane.
Yep. Yep. Propane works. It's just, green gas and propane is basically the same thing, except that one of them has silicone oil impregnated into it. But anyway, Trevor, I was saying on that website, there was actually... it's a Kimber knockoff. So I'm gonna say this just for you. It's a 2011 kind of look-alike that you could use.
Kimbers don't make 2011s.
I'm trying to help you out here, man. Trying to be nice.
I'd get a Glock. No, I would get a Glock.
Oh, you'd get a Glock. Oh, okay. I figured you'd want one to kind of practice for Ipsic, but practicing for other stuff is fun too.
Yeah, and. So far, the Glock is the most realistic one that I've seen that really matches the actual pistol.
Yeah.
But have you ever watched any of those airsoft guys on YouTube actually do a review of an airsoft gun?
No.
Don't. Don't. Like, you're going to want to go find them. They take it, way too seriously. They talk about these things like...
It's funny, Owen and I were talking about this the other day.
Man, they think that it's a real firearm. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just a toy, folks.
Yeah,
it's just something to play with to keep us amused in the winter times.
The price of the open airsoft guns that countries who can't shoot actual firearms use to shoot action air and IPSC, the price of those airsoft guns is nearly as much as a real open gun.
Oh, yeah. No, you can get some pretty sophisticated ones. And for those guys, like you said, in Japan and in other places where it's illegal to own actual firearms, I mean, at least they do have, IPSC air. So at least they can still participate in the sport. It's a little less, fun, I guess, maybe. I don't know. Certainly a lot quieter.
Yeah. So will they go through a regular IPSC target?
Yes.
When they're fully charged? They'll blast through that cardboard, no problem?
Oh, yeah. I've shot ragged holes in it. Yeah.
I tell you, because Chris Kingston, when I first started 3 years ago, was talking about this. He wanted to find a location for us to shoot action air throughout the winter.
Yeah, you could do it in any indoor building that would let you.
A couple of nights a week, right? You get together, however many guys show up, you make a squad or two squads.
You don't have to pick up your brass. It's fantastic.
Yeah, because that's the problem with those bloody BBs, right? If you're doing
it
vacuum.
Well, no, here's the thing. You simply put a screen on the back of the target, and when you shoot through the target, it doesn't go through the screen, and all the BBs are stuck in the right in the target. Just take the screens off at the end of the night and recollect your BBs.
So as long as you don't have any mics, you can retrieve all your BBs that
that's
go through
right.
the target.
Yeah.
Neat.
Now,
cool.
Matt, I did read somewhere that they said not to reuse the BBs.
Yeah, whatever. That's a
yeah, that's what
way
I said
to
too.
Make you buy more.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I didn't use them.
Heck, I reused
the BBs shot through this gun. It could cause damage to your pistol.
Or you could buy more from us. That's it.
I use I reuse bullets that I find on the ground in the springtime that shot into the snow.
Sounds about right.
No, I do.
I believe you.
I make dummy rounds out of them.
I used to, and actually all my 40 dummy rounds are made of that, but I got like almost 100 rounds of 9mm loaded up. Some guy wants me to take him to the range so he can try a gun. I'm like, all right, fine.
I got some ammo you can use.
Yeah, right? That's perfect opportunity to use that ammo.
Yep.
So, anyway. We ready to move on to upcoming events, gentlemen?
Yes, we are.
We probably aren't, but I bet you the listeners are.
Yeah.
Please.
No more
please
airsoft.
Stop talking about the airsoft.
I remember when this show was good. All right.
Winter is almost over, folks. We'll get back out to the range soon.
I still go to the range. What are you doing? He goes to the range. There's no excuse for shooting each other in the barn with an airsoft gun. Anyway.
Yes.
So t-shirt orders. Matthew,
we're done with the t-shirt orders.
Everybody paid. It's all good.
No, those there are a couple that still need to submit payment, and once they do, they'll get their shirts. I hope they know who they are. I'm not going to read their names off because that'd be embarrassing, but I'm going to say by March 30th, those people who haven't paid, I'm going to go ahead and assume they don't want their shirt anymore, which is fine. I mean, I'm not going to hold that against you. Whatever.
Send them a friendly reminder.
If I have contact info for them, I will, and if I don't, you know, then those t-shirts I will I'll announce on the show after saying what shirts I have left and to sell them off that way.
And maybe this is a suggestion, we could keep one or two for the charity shoot if they don't pick them up and maybe do door prizes or something.
We could do that, yes. And right now, last week I believe there was an extra large available that got sold to Filthy actually, and right now there is one ladies medium purple available, so any ladies out there who want a purple Slamfire t-shirt in medium, hit me up. Hit me up. Send me an EMT for $25 and I'll send it out to you.
Hitting you up and hitting on you is two different things. It's okay to say hit me up.
It is? Okay, yes. See, I'm not up on this new hip vernacular, so.
Oh, you're clear. You're clear.
Oh, good. Whew. Dodged a bullet there.
You
or
did.
Or an airsoft BB, really.
Or an airsoft BB. That's horrible. So, okay, that's it for t-shirts then. What else we got? Okay, charity shoot. It's exciting. It's getting close. If you haven't listened to I Like Guns lately, go do it. It'll get you primed for the charity shoot because Steve Lee will be here. It's going to take place on June 28th at the Restigouche Gun Club. That's in New Brunswick if you're really, really new to the show. We will have a day of shooting that will include trap shooting where Owen gets to shoot skeets out of the air.
You remember how that happened, how that worked for me last time?
I do remember, but that's okay. I think the joke was saying skeets.
Right.
Yeah. But Owen calls him that, so he didn't get the joke.
Right, but I'm willing to...
Making fun of my shooting.
Well, no. That's it. I'm willing to move it there. We can go from the fact that you don't call it the right name to how bad you are at it. I'm totally cool with that.
It's geese don't fly away from you. They fly towards you. We need to put you downrange of the trap machine and have the skeets come at you.
Oh, we're getting a new trap machine.
They're also not moving at 400 miles an hour.
The geese?
65.
Yeah, they're only going 65, and geese actually do fly about that speed. So,
there.
Yeah.
Not when they come into land, mind you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I knocked down more than you did that day with my 20 gauge, but whatever. It's cool. It's cool. Airsoft guy.
hey, that's Muffin, better than Marper.
Muffin is the new trap coordinator at our club.
Cool.
Yeah, it only costs us $900. He insisted, if you want me to take over the trap section, we're getting a new electronic machine or electric machine or whatever.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So how do you run an electric machine at a club with no power? It wasn't brought up.
Solar.
All right, then.
Or hamsters on a wheel.
Solar it is. So he's getting a brand new machine he can't use, but I didn't have the heart to tell him. So along with trap, we're going to shoot small bore silhouette. And not like legit small bore silhouette like we did last year. We're going to shoot basically gallery style. You start off with the big animals, you knock them down, and then so on to the smallest.
And everything's at 25 yards.
Yeah, give or take. Actually, if we're on the 22 range, we're lucky to get 20. So.
Right. Now, bear in mind, I believe there's only... If you're an adult, you have to shoot open sight. So if you bring a rifle with a scope on it, be prepared to take it off.
That was
unless
the rule
you want to shoot
time,
with the children.
It?
Yeah, it was the rule last time. Yeah, it was open sights only. Well, not yeah, open, iron sights only.
Yes, it's iron sights, yeah.
I have no problem beating the kids.
I'll beat a kid. I don't care. And I'll shoot them. And then
man,
we're
I'm going to take my scopes off my...
Take the scope off.
Poor thing. Sure. You got see-through scope rings on your 10/22.
Yeah.
Or you can use your 10/22, you can use your Savage.
I'll use the Savage.
I'm using the 7.95. Come on.
All right. Well, I'll have to practice. At 20 yards, it should be a piece of cake.
This would be great. Trevor, you bring your 5.97. I'll bring my 7.95, and he brings a 10/22.
But it's got no irons. I got nothing but a scope.
Put some pop ups on it.
You can't.
Man up, boy.
Up front.
Weld it. Duct tape it.
Duct tape it is. I mean,
just point shoot it.
Point shoot. You'll be fine.
From the hip. I'm in. Anyway, when we're done embarrassing ourselves in the small bore silhouette, we're going to make our way over to the we're just going to do some general rifle shooting. It won't be a competition. It's just an excuse to maul and grope the other guy's gun. So I'll have my TAC-21 there for people to shoot if they want to. Bring your own ammo.
I'll bring my airsoft gun.
If you can get it out of RJ's hands. RJ?
Who's RJ?
Woods.
Woods. Okay, it is RJ. I was like, wait a second. What initials is he going
by? Yeah, you had it right.
Okay, cool. I don't often get things right, so why.
So RJ wants to shoot the TAC-21 is what you're saying?
He actually asked if it was still for sale at one point. But
oh, yeah?
Yeah. No, nice. That's a nay-nay.
No.
And then, finally, we're going to shoot an IP6-style mini-match in the back. If you're interested in that and want to know what you need for gear, send us an email. That's cool. We'll sort you out. And all funds will be donated to the Laurentides Autism Foundation. They support families with autistic children, so it's an incredibly worthy cause. So we're not above taking double your registration if you want to, you know, kick some money up there, because that's cool. Also, next event that we have going on is the Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course. And the deadline to pay is March 15th.
Which is soon.
Which is in 2 days. Yep. So the show will probably come out tomorrow afternoon, which will give you one day. Money is coming in, but if you haven't paid yet, you need to get in touch with us and let us know what's going on. Okay?
I think by March 30th, those who haven't paid, we're just going to open up the list again, and whoever first come, first serve, we'll just fill it up that way.
No, it was March 15th we were opening.
Yeah, but we'll give them to the 30th, just kind of the stragglers. Or do you want to just give them?
We give them the 15th, or we give them the 30th.
Well, we gave the 15th. It was a month ago. Yeah. We announced you've got until the 15th, so it's not the 15th plus 15th.
All right, so it's the 15th. If you haven't got your money in, but if I haven't heard from you, if you write in and say I'm sending a check right now, you know, whatever, we'll work with you.
Yeah.
But if I haven't heard from you by the 15th, then your name's off the list, and we'll. There's only one person on the waiting list right now, so you probably have a good chance of still getting your money in if you need.
Yeah,
to.
That's right. Yeah. So.
Well, it's not even a waiting list. I mean, I think it's just first person to get their money in is in.
No, we have
after the 15th.
Yeah,
after the 15th.
Yeah.
What he meant by the waiting list was we have 12
only one
people,
person on it,
and then you know we took what we upped it to 14.
Yeah.
And then somebody came in after that. So anyway,
yeah.
Chances are, if you want to get in and you're not on the list, you're not on the waiting list, get yourself on the waiting list because life happens. There's a long time between now and August 2nd and 3rd. So
that's right.
Don't miss out. So day one is going to be a defensive handgun course with Mag 40 instructor Tommy Nelson of the Gun Dudes. Day two will be a club level IP6 style match featuring some of the best stages left over from SummerSlam. What else we got going on? If you do need to cancel, you can cancel and get your money back as long as you cancel before July 1st and get a full refund. And the annual multi-gun match will also be held in August, and that'll be the 16th and 17th. We've upped it to 12 stages this year over 2 days, so it won't be as painful as it was last year. It was painful. Yeah,
well, it was really, quick, really, that's for sure.
Yeah. That was a really, really long day. So I'm looking forward to it because it means that I've got to put up with all of my podcasting buddies over 2 days instead of one. So, I don't like to have the house full of people, right? It's not my thing.
It's horrible. We know, you hate us.
Yes, that's right. Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic is the next thing we're doing, and that's with Master Instructor Daniel Shaw of Gunfighter Cast and also an instructor at Thunderbird Tactical. The clinic will take place on October 11th. Cost is $200. Now, that we need like now, because we need to get him an airplane ticket at a reasonable price. We're taking 12 people. What are we at? We're at like 8 or 9 already, aren't we?
For people who submitted their payment, we're at 2, I believe.
2, okay.
So, but, same thing, same deal. Whoever gets their money in first is on the list.
So, it'll be a good time. And that night after the course, there'll be a soiree chef for latte. So, yeah, for lattes and maybe even turtle burgers all around. Who knows?
And what about those stuffed burgers?
Yeah, we'll see. Between Jewel and Filthy, it looks like I can get that here in the province. So
I'm in.
Filthy's going to see if he can pick one up, I believe, on the weekend.
Can I get mine filled with beef?
As opposed to... We did moose last time. No, you get lamb.
Oh, nice. I like lamb.
Round up lamb.
It's tasty. I love lamb.
Being Billy. Anyway, that's a joke or a punchline to a really inappropriate joke. That's all I got. Matthew, bring us into the news.
The news is what you spoke of earlier. It's this... oh, no, it's not. It's something else. It's nominate Rob Anders.
I threw that in there, guys. You guys are totally lost because I've stuck this in like 2 days ago and nobody noticed.
Yes.
I was just going to... I just figured it can't hurt to keep pounding the
petition?
RCMP reclassifications and things like that, and that there is a petition out there right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of petitions out right now.
Yeah, there's a bunch going around.
And basically sign them all. Read it first. Make sure it's something you agree with, but it probably is. Sign them all. Get on that. Also, we posted a very easy form letter that you can just print, sign, pop in the mail. The NFA one doesn't even cost you the price of an envelope, because the way it's set up, you fold it into an envelope. It's pretty ingenious.
Yeah, so, I'm wondering how reliable that piece of paper is going to hold up on its way to Ottawa. I'm really worried. And my personal one, I took the trouble to put it inside an envelope.
Well, that works too. I taped each side and it actually felt like an envelope, and it felt substantial enough that I popped it in the mailbox. So
that's what I'm going to do with all the ones I collected from the club. I'll also tape up the edges.
So do that. It's a good thing to do.
Yeah, you got to get involved, guys. We need to keep the momentum going and push. And we're trying to get Tony Bernardo on from the CSSA. We're not saying we will, but we are trying. Naturally, he's very, very busy. So if we can get him on, we're going to get an update as to, you know, the CSSA's dog in this fight and what they've been doing for us.
Yep.
And if you're not a member of both.
You should be. And that's the end of the show, right? Oh, wait, no. We still got 30 minutes.
Can't push it enough right now.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And tell people, because, I mean, I talked to gun owners this week. I talked to a few people. And one of the people I talked to is a firearms owner. And he was like, yeah, you guys can make all the stink you want. We can make all the stink we want, but it won't make a difference. You know, there's not enough of us. And, you know,
you think
there's a big stink because just all of your friends are gun owners and you're all talking to each other about it. Basically, it was his attitude. And I was like, no.
How do you think we got rid of the registry? Because we didn't make a stink.
Yeah, exactly. So tell your friends, tell people who maybe aren't on Facebook and don't, you know, aren't involved normally. Talk to those people, you know, and encourage them to get involved, explain what's going on, you know, because not everybody is on Facebook and not everybody, you know, is up on all the latest news. So get those people involved as well if you know them.
Educate the FUDs.
Yep.
And we use that term endearingly, as endearingly as we possibly can.
Unless you're Ed. Ed doesn't use it endearingly. If Ed calls you a FUD, you're a FUD.
All right, then. I don't know who Ed is, but we're going to roll with that.
He's a listener.
All right, Ed. Welcome to the show, man.
He works with the public, so I won't use his last name.
Very cool.
Because a lot of the public he deals with are mucho FUDs.
Gotcha. All right, then. Well, I guess that rolls us into our main topic.
It does.
Yeah.
Woohoo for gun control. Wait, no, what?
Well, we had kind of an idea of having a bit of a discussion amongst ourselves about, we're talking about scrapping C68, We want to get rid of the current Firearms Act in Canada, but what do we replace it with? And we thought maybe we'd have a discussion.
Anarchy.
And talk amongst ourselves, and kind of, we didn't plan this. We don't have any notes to guide us. We're just going to have a conversation on what we think, the three of us, what we would expect to be reasonable gun control in Canada. So either of you, have you thought about this enough yet to kind of have a baseline to start with?
You know, a little bit. I've always wanted to talk, or I'm always ready to talk about licensing. Licensing is something that I give a lot of thought to.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a lot of people don't agree with me. They think I'm too liberal when I talk about licensing. So I'm always ready to talk about licensing. And then other things that I've given thought to when you brought this up the other day was then, of course, the classes, right? And the paperwork and stuff like that. Yep. But so.
Well, why don't we start off with licensing? What, I mean, I know what your feelings are on licensing. Share it.
Well, I don't necessarily think that, when compared to other places, our system of licensing is a bad thing. Because when done properly, a gun license in Canada ensures that only law-abiding citizens can walk in and buy a gun. And if somebody goes from law-abiding citizen to criminal, then they can lose that license and lose access to firearms. And somebody whose cheese slips off their cracker shouldn't have access to firearms. And so there's a bit of a checks and balances there. But the thing I like most about licensing is that I can walk into any dealer anywhere in this entire country. It doesn't change from province to province. And I can show the license and walk out with a firearm in under 5 minutes if it's a quiet day and I know exactly what I want and there's no lineup in the store. There's no background check required. There's no FFL transferred required. There's no calling anybody. See this card? It says you can sell me that. Bada boom, bada bing, I'm gone. It's fast. It's easy. It's quick.
It's convenient.
It is convenient. And,
but it robs us of our freedom just a little bit.
Let me finish on my last point.
Yeah.
The thing that I loathe about licensing is that should I let it expire, I'm now a criminal.
Right.
So that part needs to be taken out of the act altogether. So that, yes, you need a license to buy a gun, but if it expires, we're not going to come take your guns away. Just like if your driver's license expires, we're not going to take your car away.
What if we go back to the FAC system where you get a firearms acquisition certificate? That certificate, it's not a license, it's a certificate, but it was the same thing. It was a card with your picture on it saying you are allowed to buy either restricted or non-restricted firearms. It was your proof that you took your safety course, and it was your sort of proof that you've had your criminal background check done and that you're ready to, you can buy the gun.
Mm-hmm.
If it expires, no big deal. You just simply can't buy any more guns or acquire any more guns until you get it renewed.
Mm-hmm.
Would that work for you?
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. If we took the part out of the act that makes owning a gun a crime in Canada, we would essentially automatically be back to FAC.
Right. I agree with that. I think the FAC system worked well. It wasn't perfect, but it worked well. And I agree with your points that I really like the convenience of, here's the card that says, I'm okay to buy a gun. You don't need to call anyone. Because, you know, it's not that big of a deal, I guess, for the Americans who have to, they get their background checked in on the phone, they do the FBI check, whatever, right there in the gun store. If it's not busy and the lines aren't full on the phones, then I guess it you know, it's a quick phone call, but just flashing that card is so much easier.
One thing, I'm just going to squirrel it here for a second. Why do people not get charged in the States when they fail a background check?
I don't know.
You know, like, you know you're a felon. Sorry, Jeff Ryan. You know you're a felon.
And you're welcome, Filthy, for that little shot of Star Wars.
You know, if you're a felon, you're not allowed to buy a gun. There should be a penalty for you trying to buy the gun.
Yeah, if you try to, if they call up and all, no, sorry, you're denied. They should be like, and you're under citizen's arrest until the police show up.
Yeah.
So anyway, it should be.
Yeah.
I was just, as another squirrel moment here, when I went to buy that Savage Rascal, I bought it at the local Canadian Tire. And I was a little bit interested to see how it was going to be handled, whether they were going to be, I don't know, I didn't know what they were going to do. You know, were they going to take down my card number? How were they going to handle that? And because I've either only bought guns online or you know, at another local place that knows me well. And they didn't even, I held up my card and they looked at it and went, oh, yep, that's you. And it's not expired. Handed me a card back to me, went up to the front. They wrote down the serial number off of it in a little book, and that was it.
Now, that little book was not for, that was inventory control, I assume.
Yes.
Yep. Well, they did not. They're still doing a ledger.
Well,
they do
whatever,
it the entire.
They didn't record my name. They didn't record my number. They didn't record any of my information.
They just recorded which gun was sold.
All they did was record that they had sold a Savage Rascal.
Oh, wow. See, here, a couple of times locally when I bought firearms since the registry has gone down, they've taken my name and my PAL number.
Nope, they didn't ask for one thing, and all they had to do is they had the guy, the store employee who had a PAL, had to sign it that he had.
Wow. And know. I know another store.
Well, we are getting off topic here, and we don't have much time. Only got about 20 minutes left, and we have to do a listener feedback still.
Right.
Why don't we roll into what we'd like to see for like classifications? And I know some people are going to say, and I think I would include myself in this, is I don't see the need for having different classifications of firearms. Okay, maybe two. And this is only because we need to do something so the soccer moms don't have their heads explode. And again, I'm against this, but I do think that full auto firearms would remain on an either restricted or prohibited list. And then everything else is non-restricted.
And you're right, Matthew. The only reason we say that is because we know there's always got to be appeasement. There's always got to be a balance. We're never going to get it all of what we want.
That's the sad reality. And what we want is, you know, everything's a gun. A gun is a gun. And if you have a license, you can buy a gun. You know, you're not a criminal. So obviously you're not going to, even if you have a full auto Uzi, who cares? You're not a criminal. You're not going to use it for bad.
Possibly, though, we could do a sort of, not a tax stamp per se, but we need some kind of Canadian system that if you do want to own a fully auto, then maybe that's the only one that requires an ATT.
Or even not even an ATT, because I think ATTs are done, but what if we just put all full autos as restricted and everything else as...
Well, that's what I mean,
an ATT
to the range,
and
right?
So you can only
shoot at the range.
Yeah, only shoot your full autos at the range, and then everything else is good to go for wherever.
Yeah.
I would be okay with that. Whether we would get it, I don't know, but I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
What if we took this another step towards the appeasement? Because again, I still think where we're at now is a pipe dream. If we took it another step towards appeasement, what if we got rid of all of the barrel length laws? Because those are dumb. You can have any barrel length you want on anything, handgun or rifle, shotgun. But have overall length just be the one limiting factor. So everything under 660 millimeters, which is the current limit, anything under that's restricted, everything over that's non-restricted. So that would bring back all of our ARs to non-restricted, AKs, you know, everything would come back to non-restricted. There'd be no more restricting things based on looks. It would just be overall length, is it, you know, and that way a cop pulls you over. Hey, is that gun restricted? Well, you tell me. Pulls out a tape measure. Now he knows. Is it less than 660 or is it more than 660? You know, there's no confusing laws to worry about that. No FRT tables to look up. It's either it is or it isn't.
And those FRT tables are crap anyway. When the guy from the office, whether it was the CFO's office, I think it was from the CFO's office, the first year that we did the Promotion Plus trade show, I went over and he showed me the laptop, or he had the FRT system on the laptop, and I said, look up sub 2000. And the image of the sub 2000, it had it listed as a non-restricted gun, but the image that they had on file was of the restricted one.
Interesting. So yeah.
So it's flawed.
Yeah, even that's flawed. So yeah,
and I tried to tell him, I said, you know, the picture you're looking at is not of the 18.5-inch version. I own the 18.5-inch version. It's sitting on the table over there. Come look at it. And he's like, no, I don't have to. This is what's in my system. This is what I would go by.
Perfect. So,
like,
so we can get the restricted ones.
I'm going to cut
ones.
My barrel. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, because we got the stupid rule that you can have a shotgun or a 22 with a barrel less than 18 inches, but you can't cut it less than 18 inches. If it comes from the factory at 13 inches, which we have, there's no problem. Yeah, that's fine if it comes from the factory like that. But you can't cut it yourself down that low. And I think that's just dumb. So I think we got to get rid of all the barrel length laws. Because again, handguns, if it's less than 105 millimeters, it's illegal. What?
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Grip length makes more of a difference for concealability than barrel length.
Certainly does. What about mag restrictions? What's your guys' stance on this?
Well, assuming that we kept the restricted category, so my firearm's restricted to a gun range, there's absolutely no logic to magazine capacity restrictions. If I'm only allowed to shoot it at a range anyway, why are you restricting the capacity?
That's a good point, but that is a good point.
That being said,
why would you restrict capacity in the first place?
Well, now I'll play devil's advocate.
Sure.
If the letter of the law and the spirit of the law was followed, and all semi-auto center fire firearms in Canada legitimately held nothing but 5 rounds, you are at a severe disadvantage in a gunfight with the cops.
You are. Right?
That's why they exist, in my opinion.
But they did it wrong.
They did it wrong.
See, well, they allowed
that's
to rivet. Sorry, Trev?
That's one opinion. Yeah. I think they did it kind of just fine.
That's true.
You know, because they left so many, it's like most laws, it wasn't written by people who understood the content. And yeah, they did rivets. So if I'm going to go crazy and go on a spree, I'll remove the rivet. And they also left it open to, it's not what you can put in it. It's what it was designed to hold. So a 40 caliber magazine can take 11 or 12 9 mil. That's legal. Well, if that's legal, then throw the stupid rule out in the beginning with, because you're not following the spirit as well as the letter of the law.
That's right. Yeah, we can be thankful that we didn't adopt Australia's approach. Theirs is the magazine can't be any longer than what can hold 5 rounds.
Permanently or actually, theirs modified is 10. Or altered. Yeah.
Actually have to cut their magazine body so that it only fits 10 rounds of that caliber plus the compressed spring and follower. That's it. No more. No length, no rivets, no screws, no blocks, nothing. So I'm thankful for that anyway. What else could we axe from the current Firearms Act and put some more common sense in? What about sorry, Owen, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think there could be a little broadening of the authorization to carry laws. If it's not going to become, you can take your handguns anywhere, then certainly letting people get an ATC just because, even if it's restricted to woods or, non-municipal areas,
hunters first.
Hunters,
right?
Yeah.
I should be able to carry a handgun while hunting bear. Let's start there.
That's a good place to start. And I think wilderness ATC, and I don't even think just ATC, I think legally allowing people to hunt with handguns.
Yep. Yeah, handgun hunting.
So not even just have it for self-defense against a bear while you're bow hunting, but to actually take your .22 pistol out and shoot rabbits and grouse with it if you want, or your .357 Magnum and go deer hunting if you want.
Yeah,
because honestly, that's not
8-inch barrel.
That's not any more dangerous to anybody than allowing me to take my .22 rifle.
That's right.
I would love to hear somebody try their very best to articulate to me why handgun hunting is not allowed.
And I think, can I take a stab at it?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we allow people to carry their handguns around in their cars while they go to and from their hunting spots, it endangers public safety because they've got a handgun in the car. Don't ask me why a rifle is more dangerous, but having a handgun in the
car. I already take my handgun to and from and past my hunting spots on the way to the range.
But it's locked up and in a locked case when you do that.
And you have an ATP.
The ATT helps
protect the public.
It protects baby kittens.
Just like a gun light. Just like somebody with a long gun has never stopped and shot at night or somewhere where they weren't supposed to.
Exactly. That's exactly
why. People are going to break the law and people are going to follow the law regardless of what it is. So
that's right.
If I can obey the law with a long gun, I can obey the law with a handgun. If I'm
going to
break the law with a long gun, sure as shoot, I'm going to break it with a handgun too. So don't punish me. Go arrest the douche who's jacking deer with or without a long gun.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I think that's their kind of reasoning behind it. They don't want us to have a legitimate reason for having a handgun. And so they're restricting them so that eventually they can ban them out of existence.
Well, this is it. It's a step in a plan.
Yep. It is.
We'll put this restriction, and they'll live with it, and they'll accept it. We'll put this restriction, and they'll live with it, and they'll accept it. Next thing you know,
soon there's nothing.
A whole class of guns will die off with the owners.
Yep.
You know, it's confiscation through attrition.
It is. Yes, it is. So if we were to get rid of, you know, the restricted class, what makes us think that the ranges would survive? Why would we still need ranges if...
The ranges were there before the restricted class. You need a place to hold a competition, and you need a place to sight in your deer rifle. And some people just like sports shooting and like the camaraderie and like the culture and the membership in the club. There are all kinds of other clubs that exist. You don't see people with golf clubs staying home in the backyard. They still go to the golf course.
Yeah, I thought I had one there for you.
Yeah, I would still go to the range, even if I just simply because it's a for training purposes, it's a concentration of equipment and people
in one location. Yep.
Yeah, not only that, it's a nice safe spot to go shoot and make noise and not worry about who you're disturbing. You're there at the range. You're supposed to be shooting there, so it's all good. I know when I go out in the woods to plink sometimes, or if I find a gravel pit and I'm out plinking, sometimes I get a little nervous when I hear a car drive by. Oh, did they hear me? Are they coming in to complain that I'm making noise? You know, and when I'm at the range, I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Unless you're shooting up TV or computer monitors.
Right, in which case they complain no matter what. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Anything else?
Matthew, we talked about things that we would want to have changed, but what restrictions would we live with? What laws would we accept? You know, what do we consider acceptable gun control?
Right. What is reasonable gun? Well, I think first and foremost, the one thing that absolutely must remain, and this is only because there are proven stats and studies and peer-reviewed papers to document this, mandatory safety training before you are allowed to purchase firearms.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's hands down one of the best things Canada's gun laws have done, is they have really drastically reduced the number of accidental shootings because of mandatory safety training.
How about mandatory safe storage laws? How do you feel about that?
I'm not completely against them. I'm against what we currently have because I think they're over the top.
They're not clear.
They're not clear, and they are a little bit...
Okay, how? So you either put your restricted trigger locked in a case and your non-restricted simply trigger locked. How is that unclear?
No. It's because must store your ammunition separately. Well, it doesn't define what separately is. It says
that
reasonable.
That is not clear because it store it separately. Okay, so if it's a non-restricted, it's trigger locked, then I can't have the ammo sitting how close is separately, right?
Yep.
But if we have a gun safe...
Then it's okay to have the ammo in there with it.
Right, so it should, you know, so...
Here's the thing. I don't think that trigger locks or safes or locks should come into play at all. I don't think any of those words need to be in the law. I think you need to the safe storage laws should be, if you're not under direct care and control of the firearm, it must be stored unloaded and must not be stored with ammunition unless both ammunition and rifle are locked in a case. And then we do need to define separately, because I think it should be perfectly legal to have a unlocked firearm leaning in the corner with your ammunition somewhere else. Because the idea behind safe storage laws isn't theft control. It's unauthorized access. So that means if your kid finds your gun, he's not going to accidentally shoot himself. You either lock up the gun or the ammo, maybe.
Well, you could argue that unauthorized access and theft control are one and the same.
Yeah, but that's not the spirit of the law in Canada, and that's been explained.
I had to explain to me once by an RCMP member in that one of the biggest reasons we have safe storage laws is suicide prevention. And the more barriers or steps that you can put in between a suicidal person and access to that firearm, the longer it takes to get to it, the more think time they have, the more likely they are to give up.
Yeah, that sounds good on paper until you look at the suicide stats and realize that suicidal people who can't find a gun kill themselves in another method.
Yes,
so
but
it doesn't
But in between, it does in some respects because in
but
some
it
cases...
it doesn't.
Between,
look at the studies.
In between getting to the gun and taking the pills or something, there's an opportunity there for an intervention.
I understand that, but it
would not exist if they had immediate access to the firearm.
I understand that, but if you look at overall rates, the rate of suicide has not declined since safe storage laws have been put into effect. So, like I said, it sounds good on paper, but it doesn't actually bear out in the end.
Right. Well, you can't argue with that. Then the stats either show that rates have gone down or they haven't. And if they haven't gone down,
then they haven't.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm sorry, we do have to cut it short though, because we only got 7 minutes left till we wrap up. So we do need to get this listener feedback out and then the wrap up done. So any closing thoughts before we move on?
Gun control sucks.
I do not believe at all in gun control. I definitely believe in criminal control.
Oh,
Roger
yeah.
that.
I like that.
Yeah, I want to hear once what they're doing to keep the guns out of the criminals' hands instead of my hands.
I like exactly. it. Listeners, write in. Let us know what your feelings on gun control are, what you think you would be okay with, what you wouldn't be okay with. Where's your line? What line do you not want to cross? What line in the sand do you want to have put there? Let us know.
I'm not taking the first one. You take the first one. You already answered it.
There's only one, so
all right,
okay.
You take it.
Still the first one.
Thank you.
It's from Luke. It was from Facebook, and he wrote, so thanks to Slamfire, I recently went to a pistol range where, for the first time, I fired several handguns. Loved it. Already scheduled to go back on my next days off, and the range is over 2 hours away. Well, he must have really loved it. He had two 1911s, one in 9mm and one in 45, so Trevor would argue that there was only one 1911.
Yes, I would.
And a Glock in 9mm. Had to try both configurations for myself, and only the 45 ACP they had was in... Oh, and the only 45 ACP they had was in 1911, so he definitely had to try that. Anyhow, I have to say the Glock felt a lot more comfortable in my hand. Just natural. I found the mag release and slide release a lot easier to reach and operate than the 1911. To be fair, I like the sights and trigger on the 1911 far better, and I don't think any of us would argue with him. Actually, no. On the trigger, right? I don't think anybody here would argue that the trigger in a 1911 is probably better. Owen?
No arguments here.
Trevor?
No. I'm a firm believer in learn to shoot it and you know.
Well, sure, but some tools
depends on the application.
A light, crisp trigger is better than a heavy, mushy one. Can we agree on
yes.
that?
Yes, okay. yes.
There we go. The Glock had a huge white dot sight, and he found that atrocious. As an avid rifle shooter, I was always taught aim small, miss small, but I don't think that can be done with those sights. The trigger on the 1911 had a far lighter trigger pull, less travel, and a clean break, too. All said, I think I'll have to buy a Glock, but I won't be able to wait long before switching out the sights and trigger. Thanks for all the info on your show, guys, but an important piece of information you haven't included in any of them should be, warning, firing handguns is addictive. If you have an addicting personality, you may wish to choose a less addictive hobby, like cocaine. So thanks to Luke for writing that in. That was very amusing. I did reply to him, and the gist of my reply was that the big sights on the Glock are there for a reason. The big sights do help you find your sights quickly in a high-stress environment, because remember, Glocks are defensive pistol. Defensive pistols. They're designed for self-defense, close quarters usually. So a nice big bright front sight is something that you do want actually. And then, like he said, he wanted to be able to aim small, miss small. So I recommended that he get a nice tuned revolver in 38 Special with a nice fine front trigger, front sight, so that he can get that nice sight picture that he's looking for.
Yeah, see, I disagree with you there, Matthew.
Me too.
I think if you want to shoot accurately at distance, you
get a rifle.
Buy a rifle.
Yeah, but we are talking about pistols here. That's kind of where I was
not
going.
Revolvers.
Oh, here we go.
I have a. If you're done, I have a brand new listener question for
okay.
Trevor. Real quick. This isn't written into the show notes. He didn't send me. I was texting him this week. What do you? Real quick. What would you buy? And where would you buy to change out a 12-pound Glock trigger?
I would go to either.
Wait, he wants a 12-pound Glock trigger?
No. He wants to get back to more of a factory, you know, a lighter trigger pull. He has a Glock that I think is out of New York, and they had like mandatory 12-pound triggers or something.
All he needs is a factory Glock trigger spring, which can be had at Questar, Glock Store. I would probably just go straight to Glock Store. But if you can get it in Canada, Questar. The New York 1 and New York 2 trigger is a completely different mechanism that fits inside the trigger box underneath the trigger bar. That mm-hmm. comes out entirely, and a 5-pound regular factory trigger spring goes in.
Okay.
Go to Glock Store.
So all he needs is the spring.
That's it. I mean, yeah. Matthew might have one, or you might have one. It's a factory Glock spring is all he needs.
I don't think I have any extra parts around. But okay, no, that's perfect. He asked me that because that was his. He bought that as a first pistol and didn't know anything about it. And I said, well, he asked me, and I said, I know just the person to ask.
Well, start if he wants to start in Canada and he only needs that one single spring, go to Questar.
Yep. Okay.
Cool. All right, let's roll into shoutouts then.
Cool.
First one I have is to Aaron S. He was the guy who introduced us to Todd Brown last week at the CGOA. So thank you, because that was a really cool interview we had with him. He was very informative. So thank you, Aaron, for hooking us up there. And then to Jason Gallen. He has he heard my cry for 9mm brass, and he'll be bringing some to the Tommy course whenever he comes up for that. So thank you, Jason, for bringing some 9mm brass for me. Love it.
And I get a shout out to about the gentleman I just spoke of, Nathan in St. John, who just started listening to the show this week, and I put him onto that. So
if we had known he was a new listener, we would have given him some more time, but it's too late.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Welcome to the show, Nathan.
Yeah, welcome to the show. And I don't know how long he's been around firearms, but definitely has been getting into it. And like I say, just got his first pistol, and so yeah, he's loving the show. He listens to it in shop now. He does fine carpentry, so
very nice. Cool.
And to this next gentleman, I'm going to take a shot at his name here. It's French, and I suck at French. So Jacques Carpentier?
Jack Carpenter, I believe.
Sure, Jack Carpenter, who is a listener. And I believe he sent some emails to the show in the past. I could be wrong, but I seem to remember that.
Been
talking to him a fair bit. And he is planning on coming to the multi-gun this year. Yep. And was asking me questions about. He watched the video from last year and was asking me questions about my plate carrier and setup and various things. And his wife's going to hate me because I just convinced him to spend more money.
Nice.
So.
Oh, he's a neat guy. I actually talked to him on the phone a couple of weeks back.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Oh yeah, he's pumped.
Yeah, well, I'm going to. I went over to his house a couple of weeks ago.
Nice.
So anyway,
well, I gave him a kidney.
I'm glad you said kidney and not the other K word I thought you were going to say. You gave him a kiss? That's gross.
Listen, burn airsoft boy. Don't go there.
All right, Trevor, wrap us up here.
All right, we're done. Be sure to join one or both. Now we're just going to say both.
Yeah,
join both the Canadian Shooting Sports Association and the National Firearms Association.
And yes, Trevor, I know you're going to ask. I did. And I even got the additional insurance from the NFA.
Oh, good for you. But listen, here's my challenge. Join and then tell us that you've joined, and we'll give you something free.
Yes, it will be a shout-out on the show.
That's right.
That is the free thing you're getting.
Yep. Also, be sure to check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. The kind folks at Gun Owners of Canada were kind enough to give us our own little forum over there. And so it's another place where you can comment on the show. If you're not a Facebook person, go leave us a comment there and ask questions, etc.
Yeah, I check that at least once a week. So.
Ditto, yeah. Like us on Facebook because we're only at 948, and that's less than the Gun News, but more than the Polite Society podcast. So
we're kind of waddling somewhere in the middle. We need
more. Somewhere between greatness and mediocrity, I guess is what you could say. And we're on a couple of networks. Be sure to check us out on both the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, which features dozens of Canadian-based outdoor podcasts, as well as Crusader Podcast Network, which features a baker's dozen, because I haven't gotten my show on there yet, or not my show, but Action Shooting Radio on there yet. But the cool thing about the Crusader Podcast Network, there are both American and Canadian pro gun podcasts on there. Tons of great material, so be sure to check it out. And that's it. We're done. See you later. Take somebody shooting. I'm Ron Burgundy. He's Owen the LARPer, and Matthew fires warning shots. We're out.
Yeah, stay classy, San Diego.
Nice.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.